ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगं हवामहे तन्नो दुर्गिः प्रचोदयात् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्म उपनिषदम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकरोत् माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तो ते मयि सन्तो ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्म उपनिषदम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तो ते मयि सन्तो ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सो वी हेव् स्टार्टेड् दिस् sixth chapter of the Chandogya Upanishad last class, so that we can do simultaneously the sixth chapter as well as the first chapter. We'll go like that. And I told you very clearly, the sixth chapter of Chandogya Upanishad is well known, very popular, for three reasons. The main reason is, this is the only chapter of the Chandogya Upanishad wherein purely knowledge of the truth is discussed. This chapter is totally dedicated for the unfoldment of the nature of reality. Brahma Jnanartham, isn't it? Then, this is the chapter, the next popularity is, this is the chapter where this Mahavakyam Tattvamasi also comes. 9 times the teacher is going to repeat the Mahavakyam. Tattvamasi Shvetaketo, Tattvamasi Shvetaketo. He is going to repeat this Mahavakyam 9 times in this chapter. Then the third the reason is, this chapter is always used by all the acharyas also. Why? Because this is the method of analyzing the mantras, understanding the meaning of the mantras. Suppose if there is a Veda mantra, and how the Veda mantra should be understood, the meaning of the Veda mantra. What is the meaning of the Veda mantra? To arrive at the meaning of the mantra, there is a method of analyzing the mantra. You can't analyze the way we want to analyze, isn't it? There is a method how a mantra should be analyzed in order to arrive at the meaning. That method of analyzing the mantra, thereby arriving at the meaning of the mantra, is called Mimamsa. Mimamsa. So Mimamsa is a desiderative word which means desire to measure. Matum Icha Mimamsa. Even though literally it means Namaste Amma. Even though it is called, the word Mimamsa literally means desire to measure. Mimamsa here is what? The method of analyzing the mantra and arriving at the meaning of it. So, analytical method is called Mimamsa. And here, in the sixth chapter, one should study thoroughly the sixth chapter, you will know how to analyze. See, here, in order to learn the method of analyzing the mantra also, is presented in this chapter. This chapter teaches us how, you know, we can learn from this chapter how to analyze the mantra and arrive at the meaning of it. The method of analysis also, it is teach, this mantra teaches us, this particular chapter teaches us. The three main reasons why this chapter is very well known. Okay. And when I said this mantra, this is the chapter where the popular this Mahavakyam Tattvamasi comes. And we should remember this fact, Upanishads have Mahavakyams all over. There are so many Mahavakyams in each Upanishad. But still, from the Upanishads belonging to four different Upanishads, belonging to four different Vedas, we take a Mahavakyam as a sample from each Veda. And you know very well, Aitareya Upanishad belonging to Rig Veda has this Mahavakyam Prajnanam Brahma. Prajnanam Brahma is a Mahavakyam from the Upanishad Aitareyam, Aitareya Upanishad belonging to Rig Veda. Then we have this another Mahavakyam, sample Mahavakyam for Yajurveda. Aham Brahma Asmi is a Mahavakyam from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad belonging to Yajurveda. And last, we also studied the Mandukya Upanishad. Before this, we studied Mandukya Upanishad belonging to Atharvana Veda. And in this Mandukya Upanishad belonging to Atharvana Veda, we have this Mahavakyam, I am Atma Brahma. And here finally, we have this Chandogya Upanishad belonging to Sama Veda, wherein we have this Mahavakyam, Tattvam Asi. And what is a Mahavakyam? A Mahavakyam, you know, a great statement. Why it's called a great statement, even though it consists of only three words? I am Atma Brahma, Prajnanam Brahma, Tattvam Asi, Aham Brahma Asmi. Each sentence, each statement has only three words, but still we call these sentences, statements as Mahavakyani, Mahavakyam. A great statement is a statement which reveals the identity between you, the individual, and Lord, the total. Which reveals the identity between the Jivaha, Jivatma, and the Jivatma, the microcosmic being, and Paramatma, the macrocosmic being. Therefore, in Sanskritam, we have a definition, Jiva Ishvara Swarupa Aikya Pratipadakam Vakyam. Okay, what is the Mahavakyam? Jiva Ishvara Swarupa Aikya Pratipadakam Vakyam. Jiveshwara, స్వరూప ఐక్య ప్రతిపాదకం వాక్యం. ఆ జీవాత్మ పరమాత్మ ఐక్య ప్రతిపాదకం వాక్యం. వన్ మోర్ సెంటెన్స్ ఇస్ దేర్, అఖండార్థ బోధక వాక్యం. అఖండార్థ బోధకం వాక్యం. వాక్యం, వాక్యం ఈజ్ సెంటెన్స్, అ స్టేట్మెంట్. అండ్ దిస్ వాక్యం, దిస్ సెంటెన్స్ రివీల్స్. బోధకం మీన్స్ వాట్? రివీల్స్, టీచెస్. ప్రతిపాదయతి, బోధయతి మీన్స్ రివీల్స్, టీచెస్. ఇట్ రివీల్స్ వాట్? ఇట్ రివీల్స్ దిస్ జీవ ఈశ్వర స్వరూప ఐక్య ప్రతిపాదకం వాక్యం. ది సెంటెన్స్ రివీల్స్ ది వన్నెస్ ఆఫ్ ద ట్రూత్, ఆఫ్ ట్రూత్ ఆర్ ద రియాలిటీ ఆర్ ది ఎసెన్షియల్ నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ది మైక్రోకాస్మిక్ బీయింగ్ ద ఇండివిజువల్ అండ్ ది మైక్రోకాస్మిక్ బీయింగ్ ద లార్డ్ ద టోటల్. దిస్ ఇస్ ది వన్నెస్ ఆఫ్ ది ఎసెన్షియల్ నేచర్. ఎసెన్షియలీ హౌ ఈశ్వర అండ్ జీవా ఆర్ వన్ అండ్ ద సేమ్. అబ్సల్యూట్లీ ఎసెన్షియలీ జీవ అండ్ ఈశ్వర ఆర్ వన్. దేర్ ఇట్ రివీల్స్ ది స్టేట్మెంట్ విచ్ రివీల్స్ ది వన్నెస్ ఆఫ్ ద రియాలిటీ, ది ఎసెన్షియల్ నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ద ఇండివిజువల్ అండ్ ది టోటల్. అండ్ వెన్ వి సే అఖండార్థ బోధక వాక్యం, దట్ ఈస్ వట్ ఈస్ అ మోర్ యునో అప్రోప్రియేట్ డెఫినేషన్. అఖండార్థ బోధక వాక్యం. ఖండ మీన్స్ వాట్? పీస్, ఇసంట్ ఇట్ అ పార్ట్. అఖండ మీన్స్ పార్ట్లెస్, డివిజన్లెస్, ఇసంట్ ఇట్? సో అఖండార్థ బోధక వాక్యం మీన్స్ దిస్ స్టేట్మెంట్ విచ్ రివీల్స్ ది వన్నెస్ ఆఫ్ ద రియాలిటీ, which means divisionlessness or indivisibility of the only reality of jiva and ishvara. Okay, it reveals the non difference. The first thing about now, when you say the statement reveals the identity between jiva and ishvara, means it reveals the oneness of the truth of jiva and ishvara, thereby it reveals the non difference between jiva and ishvara essentially. And this also sentence reveals what? The divisionlessness, indivisibility, divisionlessness, partlessness, indivisibility of the only reality of the individual and the total. This is akhanda, akhandartha bodhakam vakyam. And here we have this mahavakyam, tattvam asi, in this Upanishad, in this particular section it comes. There was 6th chapter of, you know, Bhagavad Upanishad is called what? Vaishnava Upanishad is very popular here. And here, the Upanishad also, in this chapter, 6th chapter, Upanishad introduces the reality Brahman as Sat. How the reality is introduced in this chapter? Sat. Therefore, the reality being introduced as Sat is also called what? Sadvidya. In the second chapter, Sadvidya means knowledge of the reality as Sat. Sadvidya. The next chapter, reality is going to be introduced as Bhuman, Bhuma. It was called Bhuma Vidya. You have different names. So with this background, we'll enter to the Upanishad. Already last class, we already entered. And we saw this also, that this Upanishad, in this second, sixth chapter, the teaching is introduced as a dialogue between the teacher and the taught. The teacher is here the father Uddhalakaha, Arunihi. And the son is what? Shvetaketuhu Aruneyaha. Two names. I have to remember, okay? Arunaha, Arunihi, Aruneyaha. Uddhalakaha, Arunihi, okay, is the teacher and also father. And Shvetaketuhu Aruneyaha is the son as well as the student. And I told you, If a son studies from his own father, his father himself plays the role of a teacher, and that teaching is revered very highly. Therefore, such teaching is called a Niyama Adhyayanam, Niyama Adhyayanam. And this, we saw that small episode, whenever the Akhyayika, an episode, a story is brought into the picture, wherein, the teacher and the taught are introduced, then mainly that emphasizes this Brahma Vidya should not be studied independently, it will be studied with the help of the teacher. Okay, Guru Mukha Deva Shastra Madhyetavyam. The Shastra study must be done only with the help of the Sampradaya, with the teacher. Independently, one should not study the teacher, study the Shastram. That fact also is emphasized. Bring the teacher and the student together. And second thing, whenever the teacher and the taught are introduced in an akhyayika, in a story, it also emphasizes the caliber of the teacher, the standard of the teacher, and the qualification of the student. How qualified the student is, how clear this teacher must be, all this also actually emphasized in this, when the teacher and the taught are brought together, introduced in the chapter. Okay, here we saw already this Shvetaketuhu became old enough to enter into the Gurukulam. Then the father said, "Oh my son, hey Saumya, Saumya," in every time the teacher addresses the student as, "Hey Saumya, oh my beloved student, now it is time for you to go to Gurukulam." We saw the first chapter, isn't it? It means here, because of the father's busy schedule of traveling, and he wanted to send his son to a Gurukulam where he can study with the teacher. So, Brahmacharyam Vasa. And I also explained last class the meaning of the word Brahmacharyam. Brahmacharyam is a lifestyle lived by a Brahmachari. Brahmachari is the student of Veda whose mind is always in, whose mind is always dwelling upon the teaching of the Veda. The one whose mind is always dwelling upon, one who is associated with, focused in the teaching of the Brahma, the Veda, is called Brahmachari. Manaha, okay, yasya manaha brahmani charati saha brahmachari. The one whose mind is always in what? The teaching of the Shastram. Suppose if you go to the university, you're a physics student, your mind must always be in physics, naturally. If you're a chemistry student, mind must be always in chemistry. If you're a medical student, your mind must be always in medicine. Because what is it you are all the time exposed to listening? A given discipline. The Brahmachari also is what now? We are not physics chari, chemistry chari, Brahmachari. So Brahmachari means what? The one whose mind always is in association with the teaching of the Brahma, the Veda, is called Brahmachari. And the lifestyle, enjoined by the Veda, to be followed strictly by every student of Veda, is called Brahmacharyam. And there, I told you one more thing, because in casually, loosely, the word Brahmachari is used by in all generally as the one who is unmarried. So Brahmachari, Katta Brahmachari, they say that. It doesn't mean the one who is unmarried, okay? So not being married as a student, to be able to focus in studies is one of the disciplines. Then, okay, the Brahmachari means one who is not married, means the celibacy is one of the disciplines to be followed by a Brahmachari. His celibate means what? He's not yet married. Not yet married means what? Not yet married means he who lives a very clean life, mind is totally focused in Shastram. Which means one who is one of the disciplines. Okay? Brahmacharyam Chara here implies, "Oh my son, now it's time for you. Please go to Gurukulam and study with the teacher in the Gurukulam. May you live in a Gurukulam." Living in a Gurukulam is what now? Study seriously the Shastras. So the student goes to the Gurukulam and spends there 12 years. Dwadasha Varsham. He spends 12 years near the teacher in a Gurukulam. And he becomes 24-year-old boy. He comes back as a 24-year-old boy. Doesn't come back, uselessly. He comes back as a, we saw, Anuchana Mani. He comes back with the pride of being a learned person. Stabdaha. Full of himself because of the knowledge he has gained from his teacher in a Gurukulam. Stabdaha Anuchanamani. Not only that, he came as the person of wide knowledge. Isn't it? We saw this is a description of the Shweta Ketuhu, the student who returned from a Gurukulam. This much we saw in the last class. Let us see the mantras quickly once. And next week onwards, we won't be repeating the mantras. Because we just started last class. And we'll start from the beginning of the 6th chapter of Chandogya Upanishad. Om. Because here I want you to learn every word correctly. Okay. That's why I'm going to break the sentences. Shweta Ketuhu. Ha. Aruneyaha Asa. There was a boy called Shweta Ketuhu, son of Arunihi, grandson of Arunaha. Tagumha. Pito Vacha. Tam means him, that boy. Okay, his father told his son. What he say? Now that speech. Shweta Keto. Replace he Shweta Keto. Vasa Brahmacharyam. One sentence. He Shweta Keto. Tvam. Brahmacharyam Vasa is the meaning. O my son Shweta Ketu, now may you live a life of a brahmachari, follow the lifestyle of a brahmachari, a student of Veda. Which implies what? May you go to Gurukulam and study the Shastrani properly. And why you should go to the Gurukulam? He also gave the reason. Navai. Saumya. You may have the word Saumya also. Saumya. Saumya. Okay. Navai Saumya. Asmat Kulinaha. Ananuchya. Brahma Bandhuriva Bhavati. Iti. Iti means thus. The father told his son thus. The father told his son this. What did he say? Hey Shweta Keto, may you go to Gurukulam and study the scriptures. So live a life of a brahmachari. Then, asmat kulinaha ananuchya brahma bandhuriva na bhavati. Okay. Our family members, okay, none of our family members ever remained as a Brahma Bandhu without studying the Shastram. I also explained the meaning of the word Brahma Bandhu last class, isn't it? Brahmanaha, the word Brahmanaha also has different meanings in different contexts. Brahmanaha, a wise person is called Brahmanaha. One who has the vision of the truth, reality is Brahmanaha. One who revels in the vision of the reality, that one who revels in the fullness is called Brahmanaha. Nirevil telekindra paramburuli arinda manidhan Brahmanaha. Now also Brahmanaha also means what? One who is highly dispassionate, one who lives a simple life, being totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge, and live a ethical, religious, and a spiritual life is a Brahmanaha. Then another word Brahmanaha also means what now? The Brahmanaha, one who studies Shastram. One who has studied the scriptures, the learned person, also called a Brahmanaha. So here Brahma Bandhu means the one who has not studied the Shastram, but one whose relatives are Brahmanaha. The one who has the relatives who are Brahmanaha. He is called Brahma Bandhu. He is not a student of, he has not studied Veda. So may you not remain a Brahma Bandhu, may you be a Brahmanaha. Understand? Therefore, in our family, none has remained a Brahma Bandhu. All of them were Brahma Brahmanaha. So may you also become a Brahmanaha. So may you go to Gurukulam and live a life of Brahmachari. May you be seriously given to the study of the scriptures properly. This much is emphasized, implied in this verse. Then, the next is Saha Dvadasha Varsham Upetya Chaturvimshati Varshaha Sarvan Vedan Adhitya Mahamanaha Anuchanamani Stabdaha Eyaya. Till then, one sentence revealing how it describes the Shvetaketuhu. Saha means that person. Which person? That boy, that Shvetaketuhu, that son of Uddhalaka. Dvadasha Varsham Upetya, having spent 12 years near the teacher, living near the teacher in a Gurukulam, he returned, means he had returned as a 24-year-old youth, Chaturvimshati Varshaha. When he returned, having studied all the Vedas and Vedangas, Sarvan Vedan Adhitya, having studied all the Vedas and Vedangas, Mahamanaha, as a person of wide knowledge, Anuchanamani, with the pride of himself being a learned person, Stabdaha, as a highly, the proud person full of himself, he returned. And seeing such boy, even though father was very proud of his son, being highly learned, a person of great knowledge, understanding, still the father found this problem of the son being what? The arrogance. He saw his son being full of himself, being arrogant and proud of his scholarship and knowledge. Therefore, his father told, Tam Tagumha. Tagum, and he said tam only, I said tagum, okay? So Vedic. Tagumha. Pita uvacha. The father Uddhalakaha Arunihi told his son. Which son? That son, now who is Tabdaha, who is Anuchanamani, and who is Mahamanaha, okay? One who has come back with all pride of being a learned person. Now he says, He Shvetaketo Yannu Saumya Idam Mahamanaha Anuchanamani Stabdaha Asi Stabdhosi. He says, Hey Shvetaketo, Shvetaketo, Shvetaketo means what? Shvetaketuhu is the name in vocative, in virivetramai. Every time the father calls him, he can't call him Shvetaketu. Shvetaketo. Isn't vocative case? Is it? Hey Shvetaketo, Saumya, O my beloved child. Idam, okay, Mahamanaha, you are a person of great, wide understanding, wide knowledge, no doubt. Anuchana Mani, I also see you being proud of your scholarship and learning. And then, Stabdaha, therefore you little, I told expression, Vanangamudi, isn't it? Stabdaha means you sound very arrogant, full of yourself. Having said that, tam adesham aprakshyah. Tam adesham aprakshyah. Tam adesham means adeshaha, here means the teaching. Tam adesham aprakshyah kim uta. Now, did you ask for that knowledge, that teaching? Anda teaching ai ketaya. Tam adesham aprakshyah. Did you ask for that knowledge, that teaching? Adesha means teaching. What teaching? It says, yena ashrutam shrutam bhavati amatam matam bhavati avijnatam vijnatam iti. So, here the teacher is telling, did you ask for that knowledge? By which knowledge? Did you ask for that teaching? By which teaching? Ashrutam, whatever has not yet been unheard, whatever not has been heard by you, whatever has not yet been heard by you, which means unknown to you, becomes heard. The unheard also becomes heard, as it were. Amatam matam bhavati. Whatever has not yet been thought of by you becomes thought of, as it were. Then avijnatam vijnatam bhavati. The unknown, all that is unknown also becomes known, as it were. Which means there is a teaching by gaining which everything else becomes known, as it were. What does it mean? There's a teaching of one thing. There's only one thing by knowing which everything else becomes known, as it were. There's a teaching of that one thing. So did you ask for that teaching of that one thing by knowing, by which knowledge, by which teaching? By, you would have known one thing. By knowing that one thing, everything else becomes known, as it were. Which means you need not go unknown everything else. If you know one thing, everything else becomes known, as it were. When this is the father, is what father asked. Father asked him. Then immediately the son, expresses his mind, objecting his father's question. How does he object here? He says, katham no, how is it possible for such teaching? How is it possible for one to know everything by knowing one thing? Because one word always indicates only one object. One word can indicate only one object. Knowledge of any given thing can remove only the ignorance of a given object. It will not remove the ignorance of everything. We already saw that, isn't it? Knowledge of only one given discipline will remove the ignorance of that given discipline. It will not remove the ignorance of everything. That is how we know. This is generally, that's what we think, isn't it? That's a fact also. To some extent, it's a fact. We have studied chemistry throughout, and then how much our chemistry has studied, that much ignorance would have gone, that will not remove the ignorance of physics or biology or any other discipline. We studied physics, physics knowledge can remove only physics ignorance. It will not remove the ignorance of mathematics or languages or any other discipline. Never one knowledge of one thing can remove ignorance of only the given corresponding thing. It doesn't have the capacity to remove ignorance of everything else. This is the general understanding, isn't it? Therefore, he also, even though he has come back as a highly learned person, having studied all the Vedas and Vedangas, and this boy still expresses his objection in his question, how is it possible to have such knowledge? Isn't it? How is it possible to have the knowledge of everything by knowing one thing? Therefore, what is his expression? Katham nu bhagavaha saha adeshaha bhavati iti. Tandaye appadipatta oru paadam irukka mudiyuma enna endru ketan. Iti iti means what? Endru. Thus, he says, katham, how, he bhagavaha. I told you already, bhagavaha, just why he asked me, bhagavaha is a expression of what? Bhagavan, which means, O Lord. So it's in a, no, it's expression of respect and reverence. He bhagavaha, omiti, you know, how is it possible for such teaching that by which, you know, the teaching which can give me knowledge of one thing by which everything else becomes known. It is not possible. He objects. Now, from here onwards, fourth mantra to the sixth mantra, the Uddalakas tells, makes his son understand how knowledge of one thing can give you knowledge of everything else. By knowing one thing, everything else becomes known, as it were. How that is possible? The possibility of knowledge of one thing resulting in the knowledge of everything else, as it were, is presented, given, revealed by the father, teacher, Uddalaka, in his three mantras, through different examples. The teacher also gives the example here. Okay? Now, see, what he means here is, if we know the cause, then all the effects become known, as it were. Now, it is the knowledge of one cause in which all the effects become known, as it were. So, karana jnanam, knowledge of the cause, is actually what? Karya jnanam bhavati. Knowledge of the cause is in fact knowledge of the effects also. If there is one cause and from which there are many effects, karyani, and all, by knowing that one cause, all the effects become known, as it were. What is the logic here? It is possible by only one means. By knowing one thing, everything else can be known, as it were. How? Only, there is only one method. What is that method here? Knowing the cause. Okay, by knowing one thing, everything else becomes known, as it were, means that is possible by only one method. What is the method? By knowing the cause, all the effects can be known. All the effects become known, as it were. So, karana jnanena karya jnanam siddhyati. Karana jnanena sarvani karyani jnata prayani bhavanti. All the effects become known, as it were. How? He gives the example first. He gives the example of clay and clay products, earthenwares. Then he gives the second example of gold and the ornaments. And the third example of iron and the iron products, the metal and the metal products. He gives three examples to make us understand this one logic, one thing. What is the fact? By knowing the cause, all the effects become known, as it were. Why does he give the example? To make his son understand, there is such a teaching. Such teaching is possible. No? If the teacher teaches gives you knowledge of one thing, by knowing that thing, everything else becomes known. It is possible. Because generally we are all with Shweta Ketu. We all understand what? One knowledge of one thing will not remove the ignorance of everything. Isn't it? But how? But only one means it is possible means it is the knowledge of the cause. Knowing the cause. And for which he gives the example also. So in these verses, by giving these three examples, Uddhalakaha Arunihi, the father who plays the role of a teacher, makes his son understand, accept. He establishes the fact, yes, there is such a teaching exists. What is the teaching? The teaching is that by knowing the cause, all the effects become known as it were. Now he's this word now. Yatha Saumya.
Yatha Saumya.
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 Yatha.
Yatha.
Yekena
Mrutpindena.
Sarvam.
Sarvam.
Mrinmayam.
Mrinmayam.
Vijnatam Syat.
Vijnatam
Syat. So, hey Saumya, Yekena Mrutpindena. Sarvam Mrinmayam Vijnatam Syat. Say that of Yekena Mrutpindena
Sarvam
Mrinmayam Vijnatam
Syat.
So Mrutpindaha means here a clay ball, a ball of mud is Mrutpindaha. By knowing the clay or mrut, no, this mud, I told you last class, mud and soil and sand and clay, for everything we use the word mrit and mrittika. By knowing the clay, what the clay ball is, by knowing the clay, some substance called clay, all the clay products, all the earthen wares become known as it were. Karana jnanena Sarvani karyani jnata prayani. By knowing the cause, all the effects become known as it were. Isn't it? How? He says, if we take this clay pot, let's take the example of a clay pot, and here we use the word clay, we also use the word pot. Two words are used. What are the two words here? Clay, another word is pot. And if we say, what does the word clay indicate? Clay stand for. There is a substance for the word clay. Now remove the clay cognitively, intellectually from the pot. Once you remove the pot, clay from the pot as a substance of the substantive clay, then what remains is the pot, isn't it? Then you search for the substance for the substantive pot. The clay has been removed as a substance of the substantive clay. Now the substantive pot has no substance. There is no substance called pot. What is pot then? If pot is a non-substantial, if there is no substance for substantive pot, for the pot as well as the clay, the substance is one. Which means there is no substance called pot. Then what is pot? Pot is a name which is a mere word, okay, coming out of the mouth, initiated by your own tongue. Vacha arambanam. Vacha arambanam means arambanam, initiated by what? Your own tongue. Understand? Coming from your mouth. Mugathilirundu velivarugindra oru solle thavira. Understand? Namadheyam, it's a name. In fact, there is no substance. It's only any name of any effect, any object, is only a mere word coming out of the mouth initiated by your tongue. Vacharambanam. What is Vacharambanam? Initiated by your tongue, coming out of your mouth. What is this? Namadheyam, a name. What is his name? Vikaraha. Vikaraha means a modified form, modification, an effect. Vikaraha himself is what? An effect. Vikaraha means an effect, a product, karyam. Every part is a karyam, a product, effect. Clay is the karanam. Clay is the karanam, the cause. Part is the product and effect, the karyam. Okay? And clay alone, it has the substance. Clay is the substance. The word clay, substantive, there is substance, corresponding substance. Having removed the substance clay, a substance of the word clay, then the part is, what is this part? Part is only an effect. An effect is only a mere word coming out of the mouth initiated by the tongue, which means a part is a non-substantial mere word initiated by your tongue. There is no substance called part. Clay is cause, part is an effect. What is an effect? Now you can say, definition he gives. Effect is merely a word. Effect is a name which is a mere word emerging from your mouth initiated by the tongue. Definition of an effect. Puridha. Karyam karyamna ennanna. Any effect. What's the part? Name. What's the name? A word initiated by the tongue emerging from the mouth. Non-substantial, no substance called word. Effect, part. So what is substance now? Cause alone is substance. Effect is a mere word, non-substantial word. Understand? Therefore, now he says, so what does it mean now? This effect has, next step, okay? Next sentence is what? Effect has no independent existence. So between the cause and the effect, if we ask, is there a difference? If you say, they are substantially one. For the word clay, the karanam, and for the word karyam, the effect also, substance is one. One substance, two substantives are used. Is it substantially one? For karana karyayoho madhye vastu bhedaha nasti. Vastu is what? Clay is the only vastu, only substance. Vastu bhedaha nasti. Vastu for the word clay is clay. Vastu for the effect also is what? Part also is what? Clay only. Vastu bhedaha nasti. But why do we call two names as karanam and karyam? Why do you say cause and effect? Because avastha bedaha. Conditionally, they are two. Okay? Substantially, they are one. What is the karana avastha and karya avastha? Okay? Clay is the karanam in which the form and the name part, okay, remains unmanifest. Before the form and name become manifest, when they remain unmanifest in the cause, all the effects are nothing but form and a name. Okay? The form and name remain unmanifest, undifferentiated in the cause. Then we call it now Karana Avastha. The form and name and also what function. Nama, Karma, Nama, Rupam and Karma. Because as a clay ball, it is useless also. It isn't it? And name, form, name and function, the purpose, becomes manifest, then it is useful. Then we call it what now? Karyam, Karyavastha. The form, name and function are manifest, it is Karyavastha, it is an effect. And the form, name and function are unmanifest, it is Karanavastha. So the condition is two, substantially one. Vastu bedaha nasti, avastha bedaha asti. Understand now? What avastha means what? As a karya avastha, karana avastha. Karana avastha means the state of being a cause. When the substance enjoys the status of being a cause, then the form and name are unmanifest in that. When the same cause, in effect, you say what? The name and form are manifest. But whether the name, form and function are manifest or unmanifest, they are not outside of the cause, the clay. They are independent of the clay. Isn't it? Therefore, the effect doesn't enjoy existence of its own. It always enjoys existence, it borrows existence of the cause. It has dependent existence. Understand? That is why we call it what? Mithya. So clay alone is satyam. Karanam, the cause, the clay is satyam. With reference to clay pot, the form pot and the name is mithya because it has no independent existence. Therefore, the name also is just a word emerging from your mouth, initiated by the tongue. It has no substance of its own. Is it clear now? So thereby, now what is the logic here? What do we have to understand finally? Karanam is satyam. Karyam is mithya. Therefore, mithya karyam does not have independent existence of its own outside of the cause. Understand? Therefore, by knowing the cause, effect becomes known as it were. Effect becomes known. This is the logic. Listen now. How does the effect become known by knowing the cause? This is the logic. What is the cause? Effect has no independent existence outside of the cause. And cause alone is satyam, effect is mithya, the mithya effect enjoys the existence of the cause only. It does not exist independently outside of the cause. Therefore, by knowing the cause, effect becomes known. Who says this? Father establishes this logic, reasoning he gives. How to say it in Sanskritam? Karanam satyam, karyam mithya, karanasya adhishtanam, the karyasya adhishtanam satyam. Understand? Therefore, karyasya karana vyatiriktam na bhavati. Karyam karana vyatiriktam na bhavati. Ataha, what now? Karana jnanena karyam jnatam bhavati. This is definition, okay? By listening to this, you will get all Sanskritam also. Simple, isn't it? Karanam satyam, karyam mithya, karyasya adhishtanam satyam, lokasya satyam, karana vyatiriktam karyam na bhavati. Ataha, karana jnanena karyam jnatam bhavati. Put in English now. Cause is satyam, effect is mithya. Why? Because cause is the existence of this mithya effect, effect has no independent existence, isn't it? So effect is what? No independent existence. Why do you use the word mithya? Effect is not real satyam. Why? Because effect has no independent existence. Effect is not unreal also, because it is useful. You every time you take the, you sour the water in the pot, isn't it? Pot is useful. It is very much available for experience, anubhava. It is not unreal also. So that which cannot be defined as real or unreal is what now? Mithya. Anirvachaniyam. Okay? Non-definable as real or unreal. We give the name mithya. There is no independent existence. Understand? So what is the adhishthanam? What is the locus of the effect? Where does the effect exist enjoying its, you know, where does the effect exist? Only in the cause. Therefore, we say what? By knowing the cause, effect becomes known as well. Is it clear? He gives this example. Do, have you all agreed? No? Yeah. He doesn't stop here. He gives one more example. It doesn't. No. Okay. Okay. Yatha
Saumya
Ekena
Vritpindena
Sarvam
Mrinmayam
Vijnatam Syat. So, entire world of earthen products become known as it were just by knowing one cause called clay. Vacharambanam vikaraha namadheyam vrittika itteva satyam. It is what now? Vacha vikaraha means effect. Then if you ask the question, what is an effect then? What is vikaraha? Effect, here is the word. What is an effect here? Vikaraha, we understand the word vikaraha means modification. Here it means effect. What is the karyam? Vikaraha is equal to effect karyam. Vikaraha is namadheyam. Vikara, no, vacharambanam. We have to put the proper order. Vikaraha, vacharambanam, namadheyam. Vikaraha, effect is a name which is a word emerging from mouth initiated by the tongue. It has no substance. Therefore, what is satyam now? What is real here? Effect is not real. Effect is not real means effect is mithya. Mithya means what? That which is as good as non-existent. What is satyam then? Vrittika itteva satyam. Clay alone is satyam, real, with reference to all the earthen worlds. All the earthen worlds are what? Effects. Effects are what? Names. Names are what? Words emerging from mouth initiated by the tongue. They have no substance. Mithya means they are as good as non-existent. Is it clear now? One example he gives. Next. He gives one more example.
Yatha
Saumya
Ekena
Lohamanina
Sarvam
Lohamayam
Vijnatam
Syat. See, he is going to now, later on, we have long Shankara's commentary, we'll understand here. And he will negate, using this example, he will negate all different schools of thought. That is where our clarity comes. not be understanding only clay and pot. Okay, karnam, karyam. No, not just, it's only example, isn't it? The example he gives only to make the son understand, yes, by knowing one thing, everything else becomes known as it were, and that is by knowing the cause. By knowing the cause, all the effects become known as it were. So that what? By there is one cause. Let us see, first let us finish this now. Yatha Saumya.
Yatha Saumya.
Yekena Lohamanina. Sarvam Lohamayam. Vijnatam Syat. The same sentence. Vacharambanam. Vikaraha. Namadheyam. Lohamityeva Satyam. So the word lohaha literally means a metal in general. Any metal is called a lohaha. Uloham in Tamil we say. But here loha manihi, we can take it as gold. Okay, valuable metal is gold, we say. So loha manina suvarna pindena. Shankara says suvarna pindena. By having a lump of gold, a biscuit of gold, by knowing just the gold, sarvam lohamayam vijnatam bhavati. Lohamayam means what? All the products of gold, all the golden products, all the effects of gold become known as it were. There may be hundreds and thousands and innumerable countless forms with the names of ornaments which we wear all over, top to bottom, isn't it? We can wear all the ornaments we can wear. And then all the ornaments are where, no, they have different purposes also. The chain serves a different purpose, bangles serves a different purpose, rings serves a different purpose, earrings serves a different purpose. Each ornament has an each different name, different form, you know, different purpose also. Which ornament should be worn where? The function is different. Karyam, isn't it? Nama binnam, rupam binnam, karma also binnam. Very useful, very attractive, isn't it? Very tempting also. So, all there, all these effects, so varieties of ornaments with very different names, different serve different purposes, all of them are what now? Vikaraha. All of them are modifications, products, effects of one substance called gold. Now, if you take the gold is the only substance, only vastu. Remove the vastu gold, then search for the substance for all these effects. Chain, bangle, ring, etc. Or for all these words are what? Non-substantial. Once the gold is removed, the form goes. When the form goes, these words chain, bangle, ring, all these words have no meanings. Non-substantial. Therefore, words are what now? All these effects are, every effect is nothing but a mere word. Every effect is a name which is just the word coming out of your mouth, initiated by your tongue, which has no substance at all. The only substance is the gold. Therefore, if you know, do you need to go and it must be there for you to know what it is, isn't it? Once you take the substance gold away, then search for the chain. It is not there. What is there for you to know? Is it there for you to know further, to any do any research on that, what it is? How can you research on something which is not there? Research or search or any discovery, anything you can you know, probe into, only available for you, isn't it? You remove the gold, then I want to do research on all these effects. Because they are very useful. We wear them. They have names. The gold has been taken away, substance. Then the substance itself is not there. Therefore, the form will collapse when the gold is taken away. The form collapses means, where is the name? What will you call afterwards a ring? What can he use this word for? Ring, chain, bangle. The forms have gone along with the gold. The words are what now? No substance for the words. Therefore, an effect is, what is an effect now? An effect, karanam alone is satyam. Any effect is a name, which is a word initiated by your own tongue, which is non-substantial. Therefore, a word effect is mithya, which is as good as non-existent. Cause alone is satyam. With reference to this gold and ornaments, he said gold alone is satyam, everything else is mithya. See, I am not repeating. It is not, whoever gives examples, don't think they are great. We have to, the credit goes to always the tradition. So all examples are from the Upanishad. Rishis. Not teachers won't, that's why no teacher can claim any credit for oneself. Sampradaya. All tradition only. Okay, now we'll go to the next example. Yatha Saumya. See, to convince the student, he doesn't give one example, three examples he gives. Such teaching is possible. There is one thing, by knowing the cause, all defects become known, is in this manner. Okay. Yatha Saumya, Yekena, Nakat Nikrantanena, Sarvam, Karshnayasam, Vijnatam Syat. So what he says? See, Karshnayasam, Ayas, Ayaha means iron. Ayas means iron. Okay, Krishnayas. Krishnayas means what? Iron is black in color, isn't it? Dark black. That's why Krishnayas means iron. Krishnayas. Krishnayas means black, this iron, metal. The black metal called iron is called Krishnayas. Karupirumbu. Irumbuku per ayas. So, and he says, he mentions one product of this metal, iron metal, isn't it? Karshnayasam means what? And a product made of iron is called Karshnayasam. And he gives example, Nakha Nikrantanam. Nakaha means nail. Nikrantanam means what? The instrument with which you cut the nail. So, nail cutter. It is a surprise for me. Upanishadic period also nail cutter must have existed. Nakha Nikrantanam is a nail cutter made of iron. He says, by knowing the gold, isn't it? Out of which Nakha Nikrantanam is made, then by knowing the iron, one metal called Krishnayasam. Krishnayas. Krishnayasa jnanena, by knowing one black metal called iron, all the iron products such as this nail cutter, everything else becomes known as it were. You need not know what this nail cutter is, what this blade is, what that is, what this rod is. All the effects you not go and study. Study of the effects is not required. Study of the cause is enough. You know why? Once you know what the cause is, what iron is, you need to know what this iron is. Enough. All the iron products become known as it were. Why? Iron is the only substance with reference to all the iron products. Only cause. Iron is the only satyam, karanam. And if you remove the iron, which is the only substance, all the iron products, such as nail cutter, etc., will become what? Lose the the names will disappear. Then there are no substance. There is no substance called nail cutter. There is a substance called rod. Why? They're all forms are resolved in the cause. The names are all words. Any name, effect is a name. Effect is only a name which is a word emerging from your mouth, initiated by your tongue. There is no substance called iron. Understand? Therefore, what does it mean here? Therefore, vacharambanam vikaraha. The sentence, he repeats the sentence. Say the sentence now. Vikaraha namadheyam vacharambanam namadheyam. The definition of effect. Vikaraha vacharambanam namadheyam. Vikaraha vacharambanam namadheyam. Okay. Vikaraha means effect. Effect is only a name which is a word initiated by your tongue. Which means it's a non-substantial word. You know, substance called, therefore, it is not there for you to know. Isn't it? Therefore, by knowing what is the cause, cause alone is satyam, all the effects are mithya. The mithya effects have no independent existence. They enjoy the existence of the cause alone. And the effects are non-separate, inseparable from the cause. Therefore, by knowing the cause, all the effects become the known. How will you say? Cause alone is satyam. All the effects are mithya. Effects don't have existence of their own. Therefore, they are mithya. And because the effects are non-separate, inseparable from the cause, knowing the cause is as good as knowing all the effects. Okay? The examples are over. Now he says, Krishnaya samityeva satyam. So with reference to this iron product such as nail cutter, etc., the iron alone is satyam. He is saumya. Therefore, any product is what? No, mithya. Now he says finally, saha adeshaha bhavati. This is where saha adeshaha bhavati. Do you see the sentence now? Saha adeshaha bhavati. When this is Uddalaka says, the Uddalakaha Arunihi, the father who is going to play the role of a teacher, says here what? Saha adeshaha bhavati means such teaching is possible. Such teaching exists. Such teaching exists. Such teaching is possible. What is the teaching? The teaching in which by knowing one thing, everything else becomes known as it were. This boy didn't agree first. After which all the three examples are given by the teacher. Through all the three examples, what does the teacher make it clear? He makes it very clear. It is possible by only one method of knowing the cause. Okay? It is the knowledge of the cause by gaining which all the effects become known as it were. That is made very clear. Such teaching is possible. He convinced his student. Son. Okay? Because always young boys, when they come as other learned people, learned means they won't always try to argue or object. That's why the father gives all the three examples to make his son understand only one fact. What is that? By knowing the cause, everything else becomes known as it were. So what is the meaning here? Now takes example with reference to this entire cause. Now see, the thing is, if you know the iron, only all the iron products become known as it were. If you have the knowledge of the gold, all the golden effects become known as it were. If you know the clay, all the earthenwares become known as it were. There are different causes. If you know what the gold is, you will not have the knowledge of all the earthenwares. That's why these causes are all what now? Relative causes. By knowing what the gold is, only all the ornaments become known as it were. All the parts and things are not known, isn't it? So each cause here is what? A relative cause. It's only example he gives. Each cause is a relative cause. Because knowledge of the gold will not give you the knowledge of everything else. So each cause is what now? Relative cause here. But there is an absolute cause. What is that absolute cause? Absolute cause is that which has no cause, which is uncaused. So which has no beginning. Understand? Uncaused, causeless cause. By knowing that one cause, everything else becomes known, isn't it? That is called absolute cause. The absolute cause is what? Is called Brahman reality. The absolute reality implied by the term Brahman or Atma with reference to the entire universe, by knowing which the entire cosmos becomes known as it were. Brahma jnanena samagram jagat jnata prayam bhavati. You need not know everything in this universe. By knowing one thing, absolute cause is what? The cause of all the causes. The cause of all the relative causes, and which has no cause. Okay? Every relative cause has a cause for itself. What is a relative cause? If the cause has another cause of itself, it's a cause from the standpoint of its effect. But it is an effect from the standpoint of its cause. Like wood is a cause for all the furnitures. The table, chair, door, window, they're all effects. So by knowing one thing called cause, called wood, all the effects become known as it were. So wood is the cause for all the furniture, all the wooden products. But wood also has a cause. Where do you get the wood from? The cause of the wood is the trunk of the tree. The trunk of the tree is what? It's a tree. The tree has a cause, the seed, plant, the seed. The seed has come from other cause, which means any cause, which is a cause from the standpoint of its effect, which is an effect from the standpoint of its own cause. The tree, wood has come from some other cause, isn't it? The tree has come from some other cause. Even the cause which has a cause is called relative cause. The cause which has no cause, okay, uncaused cause, is the absolute cause. Got it now? Therefore, with reference to the entire jagat, cause of all the cause, karanam sarva karananam. Karanam sarva karananam karanam. The cause of all the causes, and which is uncaused causeless cause, is the absolute cause. The cause of this entire jagat is implied by the term Brahma. The whole jagat is karyam. Brahman is the karanam. And that Brahman is not a relative cause. It is the absolute cause. The only uncaused, causeless cause of all the causes and effects here is Brahman. By knowing that one Brahman, the everything else becomes known as it were. Now, we already understood what? Karanam satyam, karyam mithya. and Karyam does not exist independent of, outside of Karanam. Therefore, by knowing the cause, all the effects become known. This we have already understood. Therefore, now what is the logic now? By knowing Brahman, Jagat Karanam, the entire universe becomes known as it were. Is it clear? Therefore, now he is going to say, first he made very, Saha Adeshaha Bhavati. Such teaching is, such teaching exists. Made very clear. Now, let me do the first chapter and stop it, okay? Let me conclude it, complete it. Navainonam Bhagavantaha Te Yetad Avedishuhu Yadi Yetad Avedishyan Katham Me Na Avakshan Iti. Here, this is sentence, this is an expression, this is this particular last line. Who is speaking here? The son is talking to the father. Shvetaketahu is talking to his son Uddhalakaha. Is very clever what he says. He does not say that he did not ask for this knowledge. This Shvetaketu did not even know that such teaching is possible, such teaching exists. If he knew, he would have asked for knowledge, isn't it? He did not know that such teaching exists, isn't it? So, but what he says, Noonam Navai Bhagavantaha Te Yetad Avedishuhu. My teacher would not have known. My teacher wouldn't have known. It's called ring lakaraha. It's called conditional mood. Okay, he's going to. My teacher wouldn't have known what such teaching is possible. Such teaching exists. That teaching of one thing by which everything else becomes known. That's just how you explained to me, oh my dad, by knowing the cause, all the effects become known as it were. Such teaching exists. It is possible. My teacher wouldn't have known. He says, Bhagavantaha means what? Bhagavantaha means a plural form of Bhagavan. Bhagavan in plural form is Bhagavantaha. So he expresses his respect for his teacher. Bhagavantaha means my teacher. Te Bhagavantaha, my teacher, ye noonam ye tad avedishuhu. He wouldn't have known this. He also gives yadi yetad avedishyan. If they had known, if my teacher had known that such teaching is possible, okay, that by knowing one thing everything else becomes known, that such teaching is possible. If my teacher had known yadi, the conditional mode is ayadi yetad avedishyan. If he had known, katham mena avakshan, how come that he would not have told me this? He would have told me, he would have taught me. Na avakshan, how come that he would not have told me? How come he would not have taught me? Which means, if he had known, he would have taught me. He does not know, he did not know. Now he says what now? Navakshan Bhagavan Tu Eva Me Tad Braviti Tu Iti Tata Saumya. Okay. Hey Bhagavan. Now he says, Twameva Tad Braviti. You only tell me this. See, Twameva Braviti. Who, my teacher did not know this. He wouldn't have known this. If he had known, he would have taught me. How come that he would not have taught me otherwise? He would have taught me. So now you are only telling me this. You only made very clear that by knowing the cause, all defects become known. Such teaching is possible. that you have made very clear for me through these examples. Now, why don't you teach me that? You teach me. Isn't it? You only told me. So I didn't ask my teacher. He doesn't say that. My teacher did not know. If he knew, he would have taught me. So now you only tell me this. So what you do? You teach me. Tathathathu bravithu. Now you tell me. What is that one thing? By knowing which everything else becomes known. Iti. Then father now. How can he know, say no to his son? My God, for a father, there is nobody most beloved for a father than his son. Therefore, he has to say, isn't it? Upanishad always makes you some very emotional expressions they bring in. You know how? Upanishad wants to help you to become emotionally independent. But through this conversation, you can see the bond and the care and the concern and the love and the affection the parents have for the children. No, hey Soumya, tatha. Tatha iti, okay my dear child, I will teach you. That he says, aham iti ha uvacha, the prathama kandaha. First the kanda is over. Okay, I'm going very slowly, why? Because I want all of you to get each word in the very class itself. Now next class when you start, you will also see beautifully where what is Advaitam, what is Vishishta Advaitam, and what is Advaitam. Okay? In one sentence we'll take. In one sentence alone I'm going to take tomorrow next week. Next class I'll teach only one sentence. I'll tell you already. Not many mantras like this. And how much you are going, we are going to clearly understand the limitations in Dvaita philosophy, Vishishta philosophy. We'll see all that. We are not belittling anything. They're all Hindus. They're all our own different. No, they're all Vaidikas. But where they stand, how Shankara goes beyond, isn't it? We have to see that the next class. The thing is, now it is clear is what? There is Brahman. It is Jagat Karanam Brahma. There is a cause, there is one absolute causeless cause of this entire cosmos. And that cause is implied by the term Brahma. By knowing that Brahman, only one thing called Brahman, one vastu, Brahman is the only substance of the entire substantive universe. Entire world. So what is the world? World is a word. Non-substantial word. World is a non-substantial word. The substance of the world is what? Brahma. Now we know there is a sub only, which is the causeless, uncaused cause of the universe. Now where we know that, what that Brahman is, we know there is a Brahma. Cause of the universe is, we know. What that Brahman is, where is that Brahman? How to arrive at that Brahman? That's what the whole teaching is all about. Isn't it? When he says what? Now that Brahma, by knowing which everything else becomes known as it were, is you. That Brahma Tvamasi is going to unfold that. Okay? It's only beginning. We'll see the all the unfoldments later on. Om. Have a break and come back. Thank you.